This is React Podcast. I'm Chantastic. This week on React Podcast, Demetrius Clark joins us to drop some good nuggets on building community. We talk about his meetup, React Adelphia, tips for finding the best code schools, and how to supercharge your career after graduation using all the corniest career advice. If you're starting to build your network and want to avoid the LinkedIn nonsense, this is a great episode for you. First, a quick word from our sponsor, Infinite Red. If you're building a React or React Native app and you're feeling stuck, check out the folks at Infinite Red. They'll dive into your app, get you out of the muck, and back into a groove. They've helped hundreds of companies like yours build beautiful, functional web and mobile apps. And they teach you as you build together. They've taught tens of thousands of developers through their open source and annual React Native conference, Chain React. Get two tickets to Chain React in 2021 for referring or starting a new project. Visit reactpodcast.infinite.red and build a beautiful, functional app today. Demetrius, welcome to React Podcast.
This is an honor to be here right now. So I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, I'm glad that you made the time to be on here, because I think I've been just kind of like researching you, following you. I actually just this week listened to your episode back in September with Chance the Dev.
My guy. That's my guy. Oh, man.
There's some good nuggets in there, like some good like geography nuggets. I felt like,
I'm going to tell you right now, I drop good nuggets. That's like, I think that's actually about to go on my Twitter bio right after this podcast.
Dropping good nuggets. Yeah. I like that. I think the broad thing that I wanted to talk with you about is that I think that you and I both have kind of like a similar, maybe like mindset about how to like break into tech. And I think you have an interesting story, and I want to just kind of like unpack a lot of that. I know there's a lot of people who are like new to the industry, maybe felt like they studied the wrong thing, like don't know how to like break in or like, get ahead of like other people or just like find their first job. And like, you've been talking about all that kind of stuff on Twitter, on the podcast. And so I wanted to get you on and just kind of like go deep on all that. How's that sound?
That is where I'm trying to go. Let's do it.
Sweet. So before we start, just tell us like where you're at right now and, just what you're at, what you're doing right now.
Sure. So actually, second day as a dev advocate at Cloudinary, just started this week.
Nice.
So just transitioned out of like mainly UI roles for the past few years, doing a lot of React. A lot of my time is spent within GraphQL within my side projects. So that's where you'll kind of see me, and a lot of people who do know me from a lot of my Apollo stuff and just kind of trying to preach the gospel of GraphQL outwardly. Other than that, though, I run a meetup called React Adelphia. We've been around for about a year now. We were previously RQ React and had rebranded to React Adelphia over the last year. That's been absolutely amazing. The really cool thing that we do there is not only do we have our in-person, usually, we also stream and allow for different speakers from all around the world. We do remote speakers. We stream it live to Twitch. We cut it up into YouTube videos, and we present the talks that way. So now we kind of have built this kind of bridge in between the communities that are online and within Philly. A big thing for me when I started doing React Adelphia was kind of uplifting the Philly tech scene and showing how much talent is inside of Philly, and also uplifting the people around me that are looking for jobs, looking for ways to break in. And, you know, I think for me, community has always been that way. So I've always kind of strived to build communities around that idea. And I tell you right now, if it weren't for my co-organizers being as great as they are, we would be nowhere today. So shout out to them. Shout out to Ryan, Cody, Sarah, Zach, and DeLorean. They have actually been my full support system in making it happen. So just finding a good community to surround yourself with has been a lot of my traction and goal throughout the last few years of my career.
That's killer. Now, I think people don't give enough credit to like how much effort it takes to organize anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
And let alone all the things that you're doing to actually globalize some of these things. So organizing a meetup's tough enough.
Sure.
But you're talking about like kind of like putting things on Twitch. You're getting remote people in, which mm-hmm. is a lot of like technical stuff you got to figure out. Like you said, you chop up the videos, you put them on YouTube. Like there's a lot of administrative stuff. Like what's some of the stuff that like happens kind of like behind the scenes that people don't know? But then also like how much time does it take to like, how much of your day does it take to like do all that kind of stuff?
In the beginning, it was a lot. I think the things that really have saved us, and it's funny that I've been working on a little side project. I spent a couple of months on it. I want to build out basically a new app for meetups that basically is more focused on scaling in the beginning and not oh, nice. So much just a RSVP fodder. And I think that's what a lot of these event organizing platforms become, right? Like it just becomes a
Dude,
place
I
to
hate
say,
that.
Right? You know what I mean? It just becomes a place to say, oh, look at how many I got coming to my meetup.
Woo! Yeah. I always thought it was ridiculous that like the email that they send out to everybody is like, these are the people instead of like, these are the people coming instead of like, these are the topics and like the things that we're going to discuss.
It's so weird. It's like a, we've completely lost the idea of the fact that all of the extra, like you said, admin work that really goes into making a meetup what it is.
Yep.
So for us, the things that have really won has been for specifically speakers. So I think speakers is like one of the hardest things that meetup organizers run into at first. Besides like venues and yeah. the politics of making sure your code of conduct is, you know, really good to go and that you're pushing it, stuff like that. Like those are very important too. But the like wrangling speakers part is absolutely difficult in the beginning. And what we were doing at first was we were like intentionally reaching out to people. And I think this is what everyone does, right? Sliding in the DMs and just hoping for the best, right?
Yeah.
And for a little bit that worked, but we would have consistent drops. And it's because we'd basically be just trying to scramble together within the month to get the speakers.
Sure.
So what we would end up doing a lot of the time is our organizers would have to put together a talk or a workshop that we would give ourselves. So that's another thing in the beginning, like lean on yourself. You have the topics as well. Like it's going to suck in the beginning, but to get it off the ground, you're going to need, and backtrack before React Adelphia, I was RQ React. It was Red Queen React. It was attached to my first company that I'd worked at. It was just me giving workshops for 9 months. So month to month, I put together a new workshop, slides, and taught. Like that's what I did.
Yeah.
That's how my name had grown in the Philly scene, was kind of saying like, this guy is consistent. He's here to help. He wants to help us learn. You know, that was where I cemented myself in the beginning. Then when we moved to like the speaker route, that whole conundrum of trying to find speakers was super hard.
Yeah.
So what we did was we end up setting up a Calendly link for our speakers to sign up to.
Oh, cool.
So now instead of me going individually and saying, hey, do you want to be a speaker? I announce, hey, and obviously this is a little bit better now that React Adelphi has gained some traction.
Sure.
We are. And we were also offering something that not a lot of other meetups were, right? Like live streaming a remote talk and actually doing it well. Like that was unprecedented, you know, within the year until very recently.
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen that. Like it's usually like kind of like local only, and like they may stream it, but like the fact that you kind of opened it up to basically get like, you know, talent from all over the world to talk to an audience that's all over the world. But then also have that community piece, you know, where people could, you know, like still hang out and, you know, get a drink and chat and, you know, talk about stuff and network. It's just a really interesting mix.
That's what really grew us, to be honest. And so I think the really cool part, so we probably average around 60 to 80 people in person a month. And I think the coolest part is that it's a lot of the same people. Like we definitely get a lot of new people coming in and out, but there's like a solid 40 people that have been coming since the beginning that have been paying attention since the beginning. So for a while, you know, we were getting about 10 to 20 viewers on the stream, but that was enough for me, right? Like, and I also was really in it for the VOD. And some of our first speakers were like Kent Dodds, Ali Spittle, Jason Langsdorf, Chris Biscardi, like people like that who, we didn't have the funds to fly them out, but I wanted my community to learn from them.
Yeah.
And they were gracious enough to give it a shot when, you know, they had no idea if it was going to be, you know, comfortable or not. And I really appreciate them for that. And all of the speakers that we have, I think a really cool thing that we do is we, not only do we have like some of these really awesome speakers who are very well known in the field, we try and push first time speakers a lot as well. And the way that we do that is, you know, we talk about it very openly during the meetup. You know, I'm out and about. I'm always, I'm a networking monster. Like I'm all up in the crowd throughout the talks, you know, talking people up like, ooh, I like that topic. You're going to talk to Reactadelphia soon, you know?
Anyone who asks a question is just, like, people stop asking questions because they know you're going to hound them for weeks.
Oh, they know. I will sprint full distance. Like, don't play with me. I'm microphone in hand. I'm ready. So to backtrack to the original question about like the admin stuff, setting up the Calendly for speakers was huge. And a lot of our speakers in the beginning were in person. So we were still getting our in-person signups really well. And we were also working very harshly with other communities, other meetups within our city. So Philadelphia JavaScript Developers, who is ran by some of the co-organizers of Liberty.js, which is our local JS conference. We're very tight with the organizers of that. So we were able to go out to those meetups. They would shout us out. So we would get a little bit of traction from people who had spoken there and maybe wanted to give a React-specific talk. Like, so it was really getting involved and making like absolutely no friction for a speaker to get signed up. Like, that's the biggest thing. You got to understand, like, you're asking so much of a speaker.
Yes.
You're asking them to dedicate time to slides, a topic, building out the examples for the it's a lot of work to be a speaker. And it's so pushed nowadays that you kind of have to speak to do anything, right? Like, it's like, if you're not speaking, are you really trying anything? Like, I feel like I see that rhetoric a lot. So if that rhetoric is going to fly around like that, I really want to push ease for speakers to be able to do what they got to do and, you know, offer them support, listen to their talks, help them get set up, things like that. Super important.
Well, I like this idea. Like, I keep being attracted to this mix that you got going on where you kind of have like a small, like not a small group. I mean, 60 to 80 people is a lot of people, but like you have a group and they're kind of like the first audience for these people. Right. And so a lot of times you're streaming, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of these people that you mentioned, they're streaming to like, you know, a bunch of people. There's not necessarily like an idea or a notion of priority.
Yeah.
Right. But like when you got your community there, it's kind of like they're streaming for this, like this group, right? Like they're the priority. And then you can like kind of like look in. But that's really cool. It's a really like fun way to kind of build that engagement, kind of help. Like, have you found that more people show up or like less people show up when you're streaming like this?
So in the beginning, it definitely was less. It was like 10 people. And it was really cool too, because it's not only just offering outside of your community the availability to join in, it's also giving the chance for people who just maybe can't make it that night.
Yeah.
Who had something come up. Like our meetups are every third Tuesday of the month, 6 to 9, right? So you're going through a full day of work and then coming to this meetup for another 2 to 3 hours. Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And, you know, for me, it was 2 birds with 1 stone. Not only do I get to keep the community that I've already engaged involved, even when they can't make it, but now I also have the opportunity to stretch out into outside of Philadelphia and really bring in other people to see what we're doing inside the city.
Yeah. I love that. I gotta say, just for a second, like, how amazing is Calendly the product? Like, I feel like
life-changing.
It's ridiculous. Like,
oh yeah,
I regularly say to my partner, I'm just like, hey, like, my life was way worse before I figured Calendly out. Like,
oh yeah,
way worse. Like,
way
trying to like organize a podcast with like people who are like all over the world.
I can imagine.
And I'm just like, hey, these are my standard hours. If one of those doesn't work, like, you know, then we can like do the whole like, you know, 10 back and forth messages to try to figure out a time. But like, so far, it's like always just been like, oh yeah, a time works. They like book it and like we're done.
I mean, just the ease, like that's one of my biggest friction points with Meetup is like they don't make it easy for somebody to do the thing.
Yeah.
And Calendly, like the fact that when you send me your available times, it shows me them on my available, like where what my time zone's availability is to that, and then integrates with my Google Calendar so that I don't have to do anything. Like I just point, click, go. And that's like, I feel like that's when you know you've got a good user experience, right?
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about like the failing of a product like Meetup really being that it doesn't empower the organizer, right? Like that it's not
at
giving
all
these tools. Yeah. That's
like wild. Barely at all. Like you would think, so one of the things that, so it was me and my co-organizer who had discussed like what it would look like to build a new Meetup. And the thing for us was like, why is there no thing like a Zapier integration where I can start setting up automated tasks? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And don't be wrong. Like, not everybody's an engineer who's using Meetup, But at the same time, a large portion of users of Meetup are putting together meetups for, you know, technology events. So I don't know. I feel like there's just a lack of integrations. Getting up and running is very stiff.
Yep.
There's a lot of good things. Like, you know, I think one of the really good things about Meetup, you know, to turn away from just the negative is the way that you can explore and find new meetups and the way that they suggest new events. Like that is something they did very right. I think that they found a good enough place to have Meetup where it is.
Yep.
And we're just like, you know, use it at your leisure type of thing.
Yeah. I forget that that's really, that is the core market that they're trying to serve. I think is people who like, not the organizer, but people who are looking for a place to get connected with their hobby or their interests.
Right.
In which case they're doing a great job. They're doing an amazing job.
Amazing job. Right. It just makes it, you have to do so a lot of that admin work that, you know, we started this conversation with, which is speakers. Like, there's nothing for speakers on there. Like, setting up our Calendly with speakers, and Ryan Harris, my co-organizer, I keep bringing him up. He's done so much work in this area for us to make this a lot easier, because in the beginning, it was a lot of manual work. It was a lot of us just having to communicate and try and figure out who did what, where, when, and why. And we just consistently were running into walls. And he was like, you know what, I'm just going to automate some of this. And he automated it. And I would say that right there took so much off of our plates. Like, there is no like really dealing with it. We're going to kind of 180 back and figure out a little bit better of a way to do it where we have a little bit more control of the talks. We want to be able to vet some talks and because now we're growing a little bit, like in the beginning where we weren't grown, you know, we were still month to month. Now we're scheduling out 5 to 6 months in advance with three speakers per month. And so that scale, we start to lose track of like, okay, what are these talks about? Do we even have, because I don't always push for you to have a React talk. I actually really love soft skills. I think some of our best feedback has come from soft skills conversations and talks around getting a mentor, talks around how to deal with stress and anxiety after graduating a boot camp and things of that nature, you know? So those have been some of our best. So it's a juggling game, you know, with speakers, I think. So that's I think one of the biggest pain points that a lot of organizers are going to deal with. And then other than that, I mean, I've been absolutely blessed to have no venue problems. We've had a venue, you know. That's another thing I see a lot of other meetups dealing with, right? Like I've always been a single space meetup. You've never had to go to this part of the city or then this part of the city and then this part. And sometimes that's how you have to do it. And I respect the grind and the hustle of people who do that. I just have been lucky to not have to.
Or like, hey, this week we're in my living room.
Or this week, literally, if you check into our last stream, it was this room that we were streaming from. We actually just had our first fully remote meetup, which was really cool.
Yeah.
And it was dope because that was another thing too, is like, now we've already done this. Like, this is something that we've been doing for so long. Transitioning to fully remote, I think we had 60 to 70 people in the Twitch stream when we did it. So you can tell a lot of the people that were coming in person definitely showed up to our Twitch stream as well.
Anyone who's listening to this like years later and like, you know, we're all immunized for coronavirus, there was a period of time where we had to, like, everyone was just in their in their bedrooms.
It's true.
For like I don't know, months, maybe a year. Who knows?
Please don't put that on us. What are you doing, dude? All right. You're better than this. Now you got me freaking. I'm sweating a bit.
So you mentioned the stress and anxiety of graduating a boot camp and trying to transition that into career. And I want to really like press into that a little bit, because I feel like you've done this very well. It sounds like a lot of that came naturally for you, but I want to talk about, you know, you coming out of a boot camp and then kind of like getting thrust into the world of programming and trying to figure out like, hey, like what's going on here?
So, you know, for me, so I graduated a boot camp about 3 years ago. I graduated from a boot camp called NYCDA. Absolutely terrible experience, to be completely honest with you. It was one of those boot camps that you really found out that they were very driven by money. It was very predatory, you know. Long story short, we were staffed with one staff member at one point who was our teacher, who had to do community organizing and all of the things that you would have multiple staff members for. I think three of our people ended up giving a final presentation out of 26. And they ended up having to offer everybody a redo of another 3-month program because they weren't offering any refunds. So it was not great. It was a really not great experience. And I think one of the things that really failed me was their lack of addressing the current job market against their curriculum. So, you know, I have a lot of conversations like this nowadays. And one of the things that I try really hard to do is get involved with my local boot camps now. Now that I've kind of gotten to where I am in my career, I want to reach back and kind of slap the hands of other boot camps who might be doing stupid stuff like this.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
And one thing you're going to learn about me, and for the fans out there, I don't take any shit. And I think that's something that I want to enforce on the people that might do stupid stuff like this to other people. I don't want people to go through that.
Yeah.
So I try and use a lot of the quote unquote influence that I've gained over the last few years to kind of fact check these camps that may be saying this and that. And it's worked really well. And I think that I'm starting to see nowadays there's a lot more checks and balances for boot camps. And I think that the scrutiny that, you know, boot camps weren't giving that type of focus is now pretty harsh. And places aren't able to stay open when they're like that now. And I think that's awesome. There's still places that are questionable. There's going to be boot camps that rise and fall. But I all in all, I think it's a really great thing. I'm unwilling to say that boot camps are a bad idea. I'm unwilling to say that you shouldn't go to one. I am at the mindset, though, that you really need to do your research. You really need to ask a lot of questions. And if you don't know which questions to ask, I'm going to tell you right now, I preached this on my last few podcasts that I've been on. Like, Twitter is the place. Like, I don't care what anybody says. LinkedIn you have to have one, sure. And, you know, there may be some people that are actually still real and not scripts. But at the end of the day, like, Twitter is a phenomenal place with a fantastic community. Yeah, there's some bad eggs and there's probably too many bad eggs, but muting and blocking is great. So, you know, you find the good communities and you really just engage those. Ask questions, ask what you need to be looking for. And I can tell you right now off the top of my head, know if they're changing their curriculum often. If they're not changing their curriculum often, if they're not changing their curriculum cohort to cohort, or at least having meetings about what that curriculum should be, you probably don't want to go there. Like, period.
That's wild. So what did you study when you were there?
So, and this is not a knock on this language by any means. We learned nothing but Ruby and Rails.
Okay.
And I think we did about 2 weeks of JavaScript, never revisited it. I don't think I used any JavaScript in my final part, maybe a little bit, but not really much any. And the biggest problem with that is that you can do it right now. You go look up Ruby jobs for junior to mid-level engineers in Philadelphia. You're not going to find many. You may find some in Jersey, but there really isn't. And it's because a lot of the systems that I think are built, you know, with Ruby in Philly are looking for more senior members to kind of take over a code base that's kind of legacy at this point, but they don't want to rewrite it. So I think that was something. And mind you, this is the really shitty part is coming out of a boot camp and not having the technical acumen to understand these types of things. I think that's something that I really was missing is not just like, you know, I came out and was like, what do I need to learn? What do I need to build? This, that, and the third. Who do I need to meet? But at the same time, I didn't understand the landscape. Understanding the tech landscape of your city is so important. So, so important. And the only way you're really ever going to understand that landscape is by really running head on into getting out to community events, talking to, I know everybody always says, you know, stay away from recruiters, but you find out a lot, you know, just by talking to them, just by getting conversations, because they know the market way better than you do. And they know what you're going to get hired for. They may not place you. I can tell you right now, right off the bat, I had 2 interviews at different recruiting companies. And to be completely honest with you, did absolutely nothing for me. It wasn't until I got into a third recruiting company that I had actually found out that recruiters aren't all bad. And ever since then, I've had actually really, really great conversations with those companies that had not done so well for me in the beginning. I kind of, especially now that React Adelphia has gotten to where it is, and now all of these companies kind of want to get involved, I've had sit-down chats with them just to make sure that they understand that I know what they've done in the past. And I'm not going to allow that, you know, to people at my meetup. But yeah, it was really hard to not know the tech landscape and try and maneuver it like I knew it.
What do you recommend then for people who are like kind of figuring this out, like right from the beginning, right? Because right as you start, you got this, there's a challenge there, right? Because you figure, there's a school, I'm going to go to that school and I'm going to learn what I need to know to navigate the landscape, right?
Right.
Which is not necessarily true, right? But the thing is...
And impossible.
Three months
to do that, right? Like, and that's when you start to see the bad boot camps.
Sure, sure.
Because you start to see who is so good at marketing that 3 months is enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever's probably best at marketing that is most likely going to be predatory because they figured out how to prey on the idea that you can, like... I'm sorry, you're not like my boot camp had this like motto, like you're going to come out making double your salary. That was their thing. Like you're going to be making double your salary. And I did not make double my salary when I got out. I can tell you that much.
So what do you recommend? So you mentioned going to events, but like if you don't know enough to even like know what events to find, like,
sure.
how do you start, I guess, exploring the space in kind of like a safe and soft way to like mm-hmm. figure out maybe like which area you want to focus, how to even research
right.
The boot camp to like know that they're like a good fit for you or not.
So I think previously it was a little different. You know, we're 3 years in the future now, and nowadays there's a lot more support lines. I think that's absolutely awesome. Like I feel like you can find communities who are dedicated to just that.
Yeah.
And there's so much more open, like off the top of my head, Career Karma. I don't know if you've ever heard of Career Karma.
No, no.
But run by a guy named Ruben Harris. So long story short, when I graduated my boot camp, I spent 3 months looking for a job, finding a job, and ended up actually making a startup for about 9 months. So I ran a startup for 9 months. Basically, long story short, we were the career outcomes that boot camps are supposed to offer you. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to be a source you could trust to find you your job, to make sure that you're, you know, another thing is not a lot of boot camps do CS fundamentals. We had, my partner, Sean Bullock, had a full curriculum of algorithms and data structures that he was actually teaching in a brick and mortar location and wanted to take it online. So me and him had started building into that. But we had a very early call with the founders of Career Karma because they were looking to do something very similar. We had fallen off. We didn't end up pursuing it. They're doing a fantastic job. They really help you vet boot camps. They help you talk to other students who have gone to those boot camps. And
awesome.
So that was actually how the company had gotten started. So to your point of what should someone do when they get out and they don't really know where to start? As much as it's, you know, maybe scary to do something like this, I created a Slack channel because what they do at boot camps is they offer you a alumni channel, right? Mm-hmm. So the alumni channel is supposed to be your support system of other people who have gone through the same thing that you've gone through successfully gone through it or are still trying to. And I was like, why would I only want to talk to people from the experience I went through? They're going to say basically a lot of the same stuff that I went through.
Sure.
Because it was the same experience. Like you went to the same place. So my idea was to create a super alumni channel. Basically that was any boot camp graduate could join this Slack channel. And it started to open up so much of like,
oh, nice.
I was like, oh shit. Like this is what my boot camp should have done. Like these are the things that I'm like, oh, I did this and that. And then like 30 people are like, why the hell is that a thing? And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that was a bad thing in the first place. This is kind of awkward, right? But a lot of honestly, it's really cool. A handful of those people from the community that I had built back then on Slack are people that I keep up with daily and are doing, you know, really well in their careers and have their own goals. And it's really cool to watch. But it really is important. I can't stress it enough to just get involved with some type of community.
Yeah.
Getting yourself into a niche of community. If you're looking for somewhere to start, I highly recommend Career Karma. The people over there really, really have been helpful. I've seen such great messages back from them. I highly recommend them as just a place to start. Even if it's not, you know, your thing and you don't really want to be involved conversationally, be a lurker. I think that's something that isn't pushed enough. Like, you know, everyone's like, get involved, be in the community, and I'm also that guy, so I'm kind of mocking myself. But being a lurker, you're gonna still get a lot of knowledge, and it's not awkward to be a lurker. Like, you know, I currently I'm a mod, and I help Chris Biscardi grow his party corgi network, and we talk about it all the time that like there is your niche piece of your community that's always going to be communicating, and that's awesome. And it's really yep. great because then you don't have to be the stirrer of conversation all the time, but there's going to be a much larger percentage of lurkers.
Yeah.
But eventually those lurkers will come and be like, hey, like we've had it all happen so often. They'll drop in and be like, hey, I don't talk in here often, but the gems that you all drop in here have really helped improve yeah. this or that. And I think that's something that people need to take into consideration, that you can join communities and just be a lurker and learn so much.
You know, this is, I like the way you put that, because I've had a hard time trying to communicate my feelings on this, but like I wrote a piece last, just a little bit ago, just talking about
content, you know, machine, dude. You're a content machine. You really are. Sorry to cut you off, but you, no, you need to be fine. Praised. Somebody get this man an award. You and like Kent Content Dodds, Eve Priscilla, just put that on Twitter. Kent Content, you it's Kent, crazy.
I like that.
I know. Eve is a gem.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's a gem for sure.
So before I interrupted you, go ahead.
That's up there with Kent C. Dots. Did you hear that one?
From I've never heard David Kent C. Dots.
Oh my gosh. You gotta watch David K. Piano's talk on it was his most recent React Rally one. It was kind of on like okay. automated testing of whatever. Anyway, he was talking about connecting the dots. He's like, or the Kent C.
Dots. I see. He has it. I mean,
you got it. You had to be
a
there.
Lightly memeable name, I would say.
He does. He does. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, oh, shoot. I forgot. Oh, yeah. On being a lurker. And so, like, I had written just a couple of weeks ago about my experience, like, the last time we had kind of an economic slowdown mm-hmm. and how I lost my job. And it was like, I don't know, 9 years ago. And it was about the mm-hmm. time that I was transitioning into programming, kind of like taking this okay. hobby and making it a career. And I was just so grateful for the people who were like putting out content and had no idea that I was consuming it voraciously.
Right.
Like I was that lurker. And like yes. now you like... It didn't feel like lurking at the time, right? Because you're just sure. like, oh man, these are gods, and like,
yeah.
I just kind of cover my
too.
Face.
And, yeah. That's another thing too. Is I will tell you this. This is something that I've actually come into contact recently with, and am learning. Is you know because of the way that like you get thousands of followers, and then you're putting out content all the time, and people start looking up to you. You know, they start to kind of have that worship complex, like where they forget that you're just a regular person. And I had talked about this recently. The really cool thing Kent Dodds had done for my career was open up the idea that it doesn't matter how many followers someone has, it doesn't matter how much they've done. To them, they're still a regular person too. Like,
yeah.
So when you reach out, or even like, you know, like Kent Dodds, right? Like he answers a lot of people. Like he is avidly answering a lot of people, and he's gotten so smart that he's just written blog posts for more of his answers. So all he has sure. to do is copy and paste the blog post. But all in all, like I told this story last time, I DM'd him because my company was trying to get into testing. And this was back when before testing library was like the big thing that it is. It was back when it was React testing library. It was still very like not early, but kind of early adoption. And he freaking answered me. I was like, no way this guy's like going to freaking even see my DM. I was like, hey man, like, you know, trying to get into testing. Where do you think I should start? Would love some feedback, blah, 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 blah. And that's another thing I highly suggest. Never be afraid. Don't assume that anybody is ever going to, you're not owed anything. You're not yeah. owed an answer. You're not owed a response. Don't ever assume that. But never be afraid to try, because I'm going to tell you right now, these people are just people like me and you.
Yeah.
And they're especially like, I've tried to pay that for, I DM'd him, whatever. He answered me back and was like, do these steps. Once you're done with these steps, DM me back and I'll give you some more steps. Like he actually sent himself out to be more helpful. And that
awesome.
Totally blew my mind. Like be a lurker, but also engage, right? Like that's, you don't be afraid to engage the big followers, the monster names in the industry, because I'm telling you right now, they're just the same as you and me. And they were you at some point who had no idea what they were doing and were just trying to find and get by.
Well, I think this is why Twitter works for tech. And I'm sure it works for other industries too, but mm-hmm. it seems to work for tech a lot, because if you message someone kind of in public, like, hey, I'm trying to figure this thing out and to try to solicit their feedback, you know, a lot of times they can, you know, then just like kind of like quote tweet themselves in that, like from that thread. And like right. now there's like some content around that thing that was, you know, previously opaque.
It's true.
Which is really interesting. It's a really interesting thing that I guess all the tools exist for on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I know that it's a lot easier for someone who is busy, has a lot of people asking them questions, to answer when they know it's not just one person they're answering.
That they're answering. Yeah. I think software is cool because the, like my buddies in the film industry does like editing. And something that I've seen is that it's cool to be helpful in software. Like it's, you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. Like that's weird, yeah. right? Like there's not many other industries where it's like outwardly, like you're dope if you help people. Like people will like you get fought like that. It's like it's weird, right? Like and in other industries, it's not like that. It's very gate kept. It's very like you have to put in the same hard work that I put in for years.
Yeah.
And here it's like, hell no. Like if you figure out a way to do it better, please tell me. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that speaks to what you're saying about Twitter, is that like it makes helping people a lot easier.
Nice, nice. Well, You said this thing in your episode with Chance the Dev. I'm going to reference that because I felt like you two covered some really interesting ground. But something that stood out to me is you were saying, like, as you graduated, as you're making this transition, from boot camp to, you know, career, you said, I knew my coding ability wasn't going to get me a job. And that it was your ability to network. So I want to talk. I know it seems like networking comes naturally to you, mm-hmm. But if you could just like entertain us for those of us who maybe it doesn't come as naturally to, like, what do you feel like the pillars of like good networking are when you're making this career transition?
It's really good. So honestly, I think one of the biggest barriers that a lot of people have to get over is kind of what we were just talking about, which is that like, you get so afraid that when you ask a question, like you're being a bother or, yeah. you know, you're not going to get an answer. So what's the point in trying? Like that right there, that whole what's the point in trying? Because I'm probably not going to get an answer. Like that needs to be the first thing you erase out of your mind. Like once you, and it's because like, let's be honest, like, okay, I know I'm outgoing and I'm more than willing to put that aside for a second and totally empathize with the fact that not many people are going to run up to somebody in the middle of a meetup and be like, hi, I'm Demetrius, right? That's fine. I'm okay with that. But what needs to happen is that barrier that you're barriering yourself. You're putting that wall up yourself by saying that that you're not going to get an answer. So why not even try?
Yeah. Like,
just do it. Just reach out. Be involved in some conversation with somebody. Talk to that person in your city that you think is just so beyond helping you. Like, reach out to them. Like, that was where I started. So in the beginning, you know, as much as I am outgoing, I had no idea what I was even asking of people. I didn't know the tech landscape. So I was just asking people honestly up front, like, what do you think is important for me to know? What do you think is important for somebody without a college degree? Like nowadays it's more accepted, which is freaking awesome. Like the fact that being a bootcamp graduate isn't taboo anymore is like, it makes my heart fly because 3 years ago plus, that was not the kid. Nobody was hiring bootcamp graduates. You were still stuck. And that was hard. Like, I still know people who graduated around my time or cohorts after me who were having, who took so long for the tech industry to come around to the idea of hiring bootcamp grads that they got stuck in the middle. And that's like a very serious thing that has happened. And I think it's really shitty because nowadays, like I had just worked my last job in a company at Comcast, and like four or five of my coworkers were bootcamp graduates. First of all, they were like 3 month graduates who literally just got out and got a job. I'm sitting there looking at them. I'm like, damn, it took me a year to get a job. Like,
yeah.
I must suck. Like, you know, but to kind of reverse back to what you were saying, like I knew my tech skills just weren't enough at the time. And that's something you have to come to terms with, like, you know, they still feel like I'm learning every day. Like I still get stumped on, like right now I'm learning Next.js. Right. And that's something that I'm just trying to pick up. And I still get stumped on things that I'm like, oh, wow, like it just took me a day and a half to figure out this one thing. Like it happens all the time. So like, don't get me wrong. Like that is for sure a thing. But for me, growing up, I think a little bit about my background that comes into this is I've always built communities. Like I was I'm a huge gamer, you know? So I've always
the vinyl Mario.
That's actually 3D, which is really cool.
Yeah, I can see it.
That's freaking, that's serious. Don't mind the little like rip in the one side right there. Don't worry about that. But So I had actually started building gaming communities throughout my whole life. So like that was a thing that I had already been doing. So I kind of understood the idea of community and getting involved. So I knew like the only way that I was getting a job is if somebody knew who I was. And that's, I think, an important piece that may not be talked about. Like it's not so much about finding that one person who's going to give you a chance. It's finding that one person who's going to give you a chance, who's going to introduce you to that other person who might give you a chance.
Yeah.
There's a guy, Liam, he was a recruiter in my industry. First person to believe that I was going to be something, like first recruiter that looked at me in the eyes and was like, if you keep doing what you're doing, dude, like you're going to go places. and nobody else had said that to me. Nobody, like everybody else was like shutting doors on me left and right. And that's a hard, hard thing you have to deal with is learning how to deal with rejection positively, or at least not negatively. Like taking rejection in stride is something that you really have to kind of temper throughout the time of your post boot camp experience, in my opinion. And funny enough, that guy is somebody who I would go to a meetup and he'd be like, Demetrius, come here, you gotta meet blah blah blah. Yeah. Right. And like that's where your power is. Your power is in knowledge of recognition. Any type of recognition in your industry or your area like breeds recognition.
Yeah.
So when somebody feels comfortable saying, oh, that's Demetrius, that guy is this or that, right? Or that person is this. Like then now that person they just introduced you to has the power to do that same thing. And that is like, it's like a virus. And then I was like, that's just not the time to be saying.
We're not there yet.
What a jackass. Yeah,
too soon.
Yeah, too soon.
No, I think that, man, that's so true. I think that, you know, when I think back to my own career, I think about how like, I had friends who were in kind of like managerial roles at companies, right? And so I just committed to like always being available for them when they had questions about tech stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so then like you said, like you become like this person who's like, oh yeah, like I got tech questions that like
bring it to this person.
Yeah, bring it to this person. And like you kind of like get this, you kind of get inflated in people's minds, right? Even if you don't know a whole lot, like, you know, having that trust and like building that like camaraderie with someone.
Yeah.
Really like that's where I got my first job in tech, was, you know, a friend who like trusted me.
Exactly.
You know, with some of his to not feel ignorant in trying to manage, a development team and whatnot. And yeah,
it's going to be the title of my next book, The Power of Recognition.
It's just strong, kidding.
I probably won't write anything. No, I still need to get on my blog. Chris Biscardi yells at me all the time because I still don't have a blog up. Like, I'm the worst person in the world. But yeah, I truthfully, like, I really harshly believe that just doing what you can. I totally grasp that it's not for everybody to get to be as verbally outspoken, you know, and I refuse to say like, this is what you have to do to succeed, because it's not. There's so many ways to succeed.
Yeah.
But personally for me, it was doing as much as I could to, and I, my first job, for instance, with Red Queen, and those, like, I strive every day to find a job I enjoy as much as my first job. Like that's truthfully how I feel. They were like family to me. I was their first engineering hire. They had posted on our local Philly Slack about hiring a senior engineer, and I DM'd him and was like, I am not a senior engineer. Like, I'm nowhere close. I am a graduated bootcamp, you know, a bootcamp graduate, and I have done some React courses. They were looking for a senior React engineer at the time. I was like, I've done some React courses. Like, I can build stuff. Like, I'm telling you, I confidently know I can build stuff. I don't want to be a senior on your team, but I want to help. How do I help? How do I get involved?
Yeah.
And next day we had a call. The next day after that, we met in person. 2 days later, I was hired as their first like front end engineer. And the thing that I did the most was I sold who I was before the bootcamp. I sold that I was a community manager. Yeah. I sold that I did sales for 7 years. So that was my background. I did retail sales for 7 years. I was a store manager at Vans. That's where I got that from. And a lot of my shoes, which are ridiculous. I have like 60 pairs in the closet. but I was a store manager and that's what I sold. And that's why I knew it was going to be my personality that would shift me into a job quicker, because I've been doing sales forever to, you know, for long enough to know that it's about the way you communicate, who you're communicating with, how you communicate to that person. Like, a lot of those things matter. gaining trust is such a huge thing. That was like huge for me in the retail space, because everybody's always trying to sell you for their margins and trying to build and stack and stack and stack, you know. And I realized that the more honest I was with my customers, the more they came back and spent more money, because they felt comfortable in my store with me yeah. and the staff that I had grown. So I used a lot of that in my interview. Like I full on said, like, I want to do front end work for you, but I will build your community. Like, I will build a community for you.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of what dev advocacy is now, like, that wasn't a role back then, but that was what I was doing. I was their front end engineer who did advocacy for them as well. So a lot of people will tell you, get that stuff off your resume. I do think that getting your past experience, if you're trying to transition into a new world, can be good taking that off your resume, but discuss it in person. Talk yeah. about the strengths and weaknesses that you've gained from these past lives have led you to be as strong as who you are now.
Yes. So
do not leave that in the past.
Man, that's such, it's so hard to receive that information when you are light on technical ability, right?
Sure.
But it is the absolute truth. I mean, like, so many of my jobs, like the jobs that were like stepping stones into my career, like, I did the same thing. I was just like, hey, look, you're hiring for this level. I am not even that level, but like, I'm hungry as hell. Mm-hmm. And like, I will do it. I will do all the crap that nobody else wants to do, because like, I'm like eager to learn.
Yep.
And I'm going to get it done. Here are my credentials, like you said, yep. from my past lives,
yeah.
That show that I am this kind of person. And like,
yep.
really having that confidence and doubling down on yourself, even if you are light on talent, is so important. And like what you said earlier about, kind of like not being afraid of failure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's, if you want to level up, like, you just got to get over that thing, man.
Oh, and it's so corny, right? Like, it's so corny to say. I think the hardest part about gaining any type of success has been realizing that most of the advice that I have to follow is the corny advice. Like,
oh, totally. Yeah.
The corny and annoying advice that people give you, and you're like, all right, dude, like, did you Google like advice for this topic and this is what you got? Like, you know, but I'm going to tell you, like, that stuff, it sticks, and it sticks oh, yeah. hard. Right.
I mean, people ask me all the time. They're like, hey man, like, I'm trying to break into this industry, and I have like all this imposter syndrome, and like, I don't know like how to manage that. And I'm just right. like, my standard line is like, fail 10 interviews. Like, yeah. I doubt that you'll get that far. Like, mm-hmm. you might fail two and then nail the third one. Like,
yep.
just do as many as you can, and you'll realize, you know.
And it's tiring, right? Like,
oh, that's, totally. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting as hell to fail. That's the thing, right? And that's what I think stops most people, is like, they'll get to the two or three and they'll be like, shit, this is a lot on my mental. And I definitely think you should take that step back. Like, there are yeah. times where you need to know yourself enough to take those steps back. Like, this is what I've tried to, that any growth that I've tried to have in the last few years of like who I am, is realizing that like, when I give advice, I'm giving advice from a very privileged place. Like,
absolutely.
I'm a white dude in an industry dominated by white dudes. Like, you know, so I can say, go out there, be confident, cheerlead yourself on. And most people are going to be like, yeah, sick dude. Like, that's great for you. But like, you know, I'm quiet, I'm reserved. I have no technical experience, this and that. Like, how do I do that same thing? You know, and the best advice that I give there is to know you, know what you're comfortable with, know what your, you know, availability is as far as stretching yourself.
Yep.
But you have to, I mean, no matter who you are and what you have, like, there are portions of this that are true, and that you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. Like, you have to do that. And it sucks that this industry has some gatekeepers in that it might push you away from being able to be the best person that you want to be in these situations. But that's why I will always default back to having a good community around you. I will always yeah. default back to having yep. a good community around you. That end all be all, I am where I am today, and you'll see it across almost any platform you find me on. I talk about community. I for sure in full give all of the success that I have to the fact that I've been like blessed with the idea that I've been involved in communities, that I've built
yeah.
great communities. Like, it is for sure done for my career what nothing else could.
It's so important to know that. And I think, you know, on the topic of communities, I've really been a huge fan of what Code Newbie is doing. I'm a huge, huge, ridiculous fan of Saranyat Barak. She can do like no wrong in my eyes. And like, I love their their goal of being like the most positive programming community on the internet.
Yes.
And it's so important. Like you're going to feel bad about yourself all the time and hear all this messaging about like how you're not enough and like imposter syndrome and all that kind of stuff. But like having those people who know you and can cheerlead for you and get excited for you is,
and being around other people that are grinding, right? Like when you're around other people that are grind, that's the one thing I attribute to the Party Corgi Network. Like being in there and watching, you know, the people that are in there. I mean, you know, there's a handful of us who are egghead instructors in there. So like, you know, we have our kind of discussions around egghead content. And then there's like a huge handful of like non-egghead content creators that are out there grinding content, live streaming on Twitch, putting out blog posts, and being around that. Oh my God. Like that, even on days where I'm like, I don't want to do any, like being able to support them while they do, like that's another one of those pushes. So like, Code Newbie, like it's, first of all, it's insane how these like hashtag communities have built into these huge brand communities, like you know, like 100 Days of Code and things like that. Like that was something that my first job I had really discussed with my founders. I was like, look, like get involved in Twitter as a company and start to help people. Like that is what you need to do. That is the way that you're gonna find success in what you want. That's the way that other people are going to help. Like we had been one of the first companies in Philly that were small that we brought on 3 bootcamp graduates as apprentices, and part-time we would bring them in, work on projects together, stuff like that. And that was one of the things that we had used very heavily in the beginning, was those hashtag communities of Code Newbie, of 100 Days of Code, and things of that nature. It's so insane to be where we are now and see them getting picked up by like dev.2 and like being like that's having their own conference. Like that's so that's so awesome. And shout out to the organizers, to everybody who's involved in those communities, because it is very inspiring to see.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, we're kind of coming up on our time here. So I just wanted to end with something that I like to ask everybody, like when we end. Like, what are you like excited about? Like over the next like year, 2-3 years, like what are you bullish on? Whether it be like technology or trends or whatever.
So, you know, I'm obviously starting my first week as a dev advocate. I think that defining that role is going to be one of my huge like pushes, because I think what's starting to happen is it's a new role. It's in the industry as a whole, right? And there's people who are absolutely killing it. I mean, you know, you're always going to hear this name, but Jason Langsdorf, that is a mentor, that's a friend. That man is what I look to, and I say that's what I look at this role and want to be. And I'm really excited to inspire others to look at this role as an opportunity, but also B, to show, I think what happens a lot is because it's a marketing role, like at most companies it gets slotted into marketing, I want to show how engineering focused it really is. Like it's a very engineering heavy role. You have to be able to spin up new technologies all the time. You have to build out projects. You have to be able to answer very highly technical questions from people in your community. Like it's a very technical role, and I've actually rebranded it to being named Advocate Engineer. So you'll be nice. Seeing that flying around. So I think if there was anything I was really excited about, it would be like really digging into this role and seeing the impact that I can make and hopefully helping others to find that this role is a really important one. I think this is a really, you know, I talk about community an obsessive amount. Like I'm now getting paid to be a part of communities, and I think that is, you know what I mean? That's like next level for me.
That's great. Well, I'm glad that you found something. I'm really excited to see you flesh this out, because you've already done amazing work in community and
thank you.
Kind of making that intersection a little bit more obvious between community and engineering. It sounds like, you know, perfect work for you.
I hope so. I think so. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on. How can people find you? I know you're doing a big push on Egghead. Tell us where people can find your stuff.
So the best, and I'm going to tell you right now, I just spent a lot of time telling you to reach out to people at Demetrius Clark on Twitter. Find me. You don't even have to follow me. I don't care if you don't follow me. DM me. I am
just bug the hell out of you.
I'm open for conversation. I really am. It may take a little bit to get back to you, but I will get back to you. I really am open for conversation. If you're a bootcamp graduate and you're struggling, or you want to learn React and you don't know where to start, like I've taken it upon myself in my like local friend group. I'm like, look, if any of you ever want to take the chance and become a web dev, like I'm going to give you a bunch of resources. So I sit on a stockpile of resources. If you want to learn React,
awesome.
You know, please reach out to me. Egghead, definitely. You know, I just released my first collection on Egghead for React Query. I'm in the works right now building a new collection out for Next.js. Really interesting stuff in there. So definitely keep an eye on my Egghead. And then please come check us out at React Adelphia. Join the chat. We're going to be remote for the foreseeable future. I'm emceeing it all day, every day. I'm all up in that chat talking a bunch of work. So find me in there. Have some fun. Come join us. Always looking for speakers. If you're interested in speaking, definitely come speak. We're going to be having Chantastic as a speaker at some point. I know it's going to happen. I'm putting him on blast right now, so he has to do it. But yeah, those are my main points of contact. Find me and reach out. I'd love to talk.
Demetrius, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us some killer helpful information on just like navigating a career, kind of getting your first job and like getting going, networking.
I want to thank you so much for inviting me on. This is like a huge like stepping stone in my career to have been on this. Like I know you probably don't feel that way, but this is really dope. You've had some really prolific people on here, so I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Well, thanks for being here. It was a pleasure to chat with you.
Of course, man.
This has been episode 93 of React Podcast with Chantastic and Demetrius Clark. Find the people and projects mentioned in this episode at reactpodcast.com/93. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. If you're stuck in a React or React Native project, tap the folks at Infinite Red for help. They'll teach you your way out of whatever problems you face. Visit reactpodcast.infinite.red to start a new project today and get 2 tickets to Chain React Conf in 2021. If you like this show, there's a fast, free way to demonstrate your support. Leave us a review on iTunes. It's the best way for you to let me know what you think we're doing right and what we can improve. 2 to 3 minutes of your time helps us make the best show we possibly can. As always, links and show notes for all episodes are available at reactpodcast.com. This episode was edited by Mikhail Delport. It was produced by Mikhail Delport and Sarah Jackson at Spec, a network to help you level up in design and development. Check out spec.fm for other shows that are sure to fast-track your career. I'm your friend Chantastic. Thanks for listening. We'll be in your ears again next week.